Okay. Couple things. First of all, before I start, I want to remind parents, we love the noise. Don't worry about it. Okay? So if there's comments, don't get too uptight. Because we love hearing the joy of kids in our midst. The other thing I wanted to highlight, Silk has kind of taken off, hasn't it? How many people were there the other day in your class, Carol, on Thursday night, 2 weeks ago, maybe? 20? And you had 9? And the week before that? Yeah. Our evening classes on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights have just expanded and grown, and let's keep praying for the volunteers that are working with Silk, teaching English to all. And if you would like to help in the new year, speak to Carol or Alec or Nada or Dennis. They would love to help you get engaged. It's actually really a very rewarding thing to help others learn this crazy language and a little bit about Canada at the same time, and it's wonderful to see. I was able to be on Thursday at a daytime students finished their course, and they had a potluck. Oh, my goodness. Three of the students were from Asia. Three of the students were from Latin America. And then the three, Nada and the teacher, and I brought some Canadian food. It was so good. But it was more exciting to see they were each given a Bible for new Canadians, and seeing them pour through and learning what it is and talking about where they should start reading for those that are not Christians. It was a joy to witness all that. So, Silk, thank you. You've given me a lot of joy this Christmas. And joy is our theme for the morning, isn't it? Let's pray. Help us, O God, to hear your voice this morning and to respond as you would have us do. In your name, amen. So check-in time. How has Emmanuel, who brings us hope and brings us peace, helped you in your walk this past week? Good question, isn't it? How's the preparation for his coming going? What are some of the maybe God moments you had this week? I shared a couple of mine. They were wonderful. You see, it's important to remember that we don't get to show up for church on Sunday, worship together, and then walk away and not think about God anymore all during the rest of the week. That's not what this is all about, is it? The relationship that we have with our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has to be a day-by-day, moment-by-moment thing. It's a journey together with God every step of the way. So it's good to check in with each other. How's it going? When you sit in the morning, on Sunday mornings before the church service starts, if that's a question you can ask each other, how's it going? How's your walk with Jesus going? Our theme this week is with joy. Emmanuel, God with us, brings joy. Just like peace, God brings joy. And just like with both hope and peace, God's joy is a different kind of joy, the kind of joy that only God can give. We have, all of us, experienced joy at different times in our lives, maybe at the birth of a child or at some very special occasion, that exhilarating feeling of happiness. But that often seems to be fleeting, doesn't it? It disappears. God's joy exists no matter what the circumstances. And God's joy gives us strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Joy of the Lord is my strength. And the psalm that Griffin just read for us, it's full of references to joy. And there are so many songs about joy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know, I've got, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, Sean. He's where? Because the little playtime people already know that when I go, where? They shout it out down in my heart. Got that joy. Do we really? And we've seen people jump for joy. And all of that's good. But it's God's joy that's very deep within us that stays. those other moments of joy tend to be fleeting. And we find joy within community. Mary did. Mary found joy in community. You know, I would have loved to have met Mary. She must have been a great person to be around. Joy emanating from her. Such trust and such faith. And she was so young. She was only about 15, wasn't she? That's people's best guess. I know that I, at 15, would not have responded the way she did when the angel showed up. Now, remember, and I've said this a lot this Advent season, Scripture doesn't give us the whole picture, just the highlights, the snapshot. And I really wonder what went through her mind during that whole dialogue with the angel. Was there more to the discussion with the angel than what is in our scriptures? We don't know the answers, but we recognize that there are gaps in here. And that conversation would have been interesting. Was she too scared to say anything? Well, I don't think so, because we have the fact that she responded. Would have there been more questions that she asked? I don't know. But it's interesting to ponder that, isn't it? We also don't know what she did next. Totally. Like, did she go tell her parents? Did she go tell her best friend? Did she go tell her fiancé? I mean, I wonder how that all went. It would have been an interesting to be able to see all of what happened in there, didn't it? We do know, though, that she had community around us, and we do know that she wasn't alone, and we do know that in all of this, she was filled with joy, and she chose joy. Doesn't mean there weren't rough spots in her life, and there were many, I'm sure, and some of them are recorded for us. It doesn't mean that she wasn't scared. In fact, I'm sure she often was. But regardless of all of that, she had that deep, abiding peace and joy. And she chose joy. Another person I would have loved to meet is Elizabeth and her husband, Zachariah. We read, in verse 39, that Mary quickly went to Zachariah and Elizabeth's house, where she stayed for about 3 months. Both of these women were expecting their first child. And even though they were vastly different in age, they would have had so much in common, and they would have been able to support each other in a unique way because of their own unique circumstances. We do know that when Mary got to Elizabeth's house, the Holy Spirit showed up in a big way. And Elizabeth understood what was happening in a way that no one else had. And Elizabeth's child, John the Baptist, leapt for joy inside her. So can you imagine Elizabeth's joy, and then through Elizabeth, Mary's joy all over again? It was probably a joy that none of them had ever experienced before, because it was God-given in a very unique way. It was deep, profound, God-given joy. I would have loved to have met them and find out what it was like. What did that God-given, overwhelming sense of joy feel like? It would have been amazing. And then Mary bursts into this song, and she sings the most amazing song of praise. We didn't read it today, but we have in past years, and I would like you to read it this week over and over if you can. Her response to the fact that her life had just been totally hijacked by God, and things were happening to her that were so foreign and out of her control, and yet she chooses to sing this amazing song of praise and joy to God. Both Elizabeth and Mary could have chosen shock and fear, but instead they chose joy. God's joy. Strengthening joy. There's also another person I would really, really like to meet, probably more than Elizabeth and Mary. I would like to have met Mary's mother. We don't know a thing about Mary's mother. She never met. But recently I came across a great little article on social media and it got me thinking about it. And I actually wish I'd written the article because it's good, really good. And I'm going to share some of it with you and even a few thoughts. And I know that some of you are going to want a copy of it, so there's some pink sheets on the back table in the foyer that you can take home, and if we run out, we'll make more. The little article does mention the silent years, and it's not something we've talked about much. But there's about 400 years in a gap in our scriptures between the end of the Old Testament at Malachi to the beginning of the New Testament at Matthew. There's about 400 years that aren't mentioned at all. Those are the silent years that are mentioned in this. It was a time of Roman occupation of the Jewish nation, and it was a time of uprisings and unrest, in particularly a rebel group called the Maccabees. I actually think that what's going on in the Middle East right now is probably somewhat similar, although not quite as devastating. This is a time when we had no written scripture, not even a written history, so much that we don't know. Now, all that said, here's the article, and I hope it speaks to you like it has to me. This time of year, we talk about Mary a lot. But what about Mary's mother? Someone had to raise Mary to find favor with God. Someone had to raise Mary to treasure purity. Someone had to raise Mary to honor Joseph. Someone had to raise Mary to know the voice of the Lord, even though they were living in the silent years. Mary's mother, we don't know her name. We don't know what her life looked like. We don't know who she was married to or what she was like. All we know, she raised the mother of Christ. She raised a daughter highly favored of the Lord. She raised a daughter to fear the Lord when the Lord was silent. This is what we know. Mary's mother didn't have an encounter with the angel telling her to raise Mary carefully because of how the Lord was going to use her. Mary's mother chose to raise Mary wisely so that the Lord could use her. Mary's mother didn't have an encounter with the angel, and I want to add that we know of, telling her to honor her husband because Mary would need to honor Joseph when he told her to travel to Bethlehem while she was great with child, or when he told her to flee Herod's wrath before it even came to pass in the middle of the night. Mary's mother just honored her husband because she knew that's what she was called to do. Mary's mother didn't have an encounter with an angel giving her a word to cling to in those dark, silent years. But she clung to the word of God that she had. She trusted his word even during his silence. And her home shone with divine favor because she made choices in the dark that affected the whole world. Mary, did you know? She knew some. She knew what the angel had told her. But Mary's mother? She had no idea. But she chose to raise a daughter that the Lord could use. And that choice still affects all of us today. Who you raise can affect eternity. The examples you set in marriage can affect eternity. Your home can make the gates of hell tremble. But it starts with you. Now, I know the author's taken a lot of liberties here, assuming no angel came to Mary's mother. We don't know that, and we don't know much. And it's possible one might have, like assuming that Mary's mother had access to Scripture and that she could read them. That's a big... There are other liberties, too, that we said. But this is written to get us to think about so many things. There are people in our world... Well, there are people in scriptures. There are people who didn't appear in the scriptures that had a significant impact on the people that do and did. There are people in our world who are behind the scenes who have a significant impact on the people who are noticed. There are hard-working, often struggling parents who are doing their best to raise godly children in this chaotic, rapidly changing world. And none of us have any idea which of them might have a profound effect on our society, like a Mary, or a King David, or a Martin Luther, or a Martin Luther King Jr., or a Bonhoeffer, or a Mother Teresa. I could go on and on. There are people raising, impacting people who will change our world. We all make choices and decisions each and every day that can have a profound impact on our world and on the people around us. When we live a life of prayer, in constant talking with God as we journey with Him and with each other, the choices and the decisions we make are more likely to be God-honoring ones. I think that Mary's mother and Mary's father, again, we don't know anything, were amazing people who instilled joy and faith and trust. Joy is a choice. Mary chose joy. We need to choose joy. And faith and trust and share them with each other. See, when we do, just a little bit of the hope and peace, God's hope and peace, touches others. And we spread God's joy to a world that so desperately needs. Well, I would like to meet Mary, and I would love to meet Elizabeth. I would really, really, really like to meet Mary's mother. And I would like to learn from her. So that takes us back to where we started our service, when Hadley and Ashley read, uncontainable, irrepressible, bubbling up in an explosion of energy, what the weary long for, what children often embody, what makes the divine smile, joy. It cannot be paid for, but it is a priceless treasure. And so, God, as we hope for your arrival, as we pray for peace in your living, as we wait and watch and wonder how you might reveal yourself to us, give us joy in your advent. God of love, we were made in joy. May we live it that way. Amen. Let me pray. Hope. We all need that hope. Peace. Peace that you've gifted us, Jesus, and the peace that the world needs so badly right now. And joy. Help us to choose joy, and may it overflow from us to each and every person we meet. Amen.